afternoon. The Conference Committee on Senate File 1236 will be in order, and today's date is Wednesday, May 15th. Hello again, members. It is our intention to move quickly today. As we know, we don't have many days left in the session, so it's our hope that we will complete the work of the Conference Committee by the time that we're done with our meeting. And I would like to say at the outset that we are so lucky to have, number one, as we said, the outstanding target put forward by the governor and our leadership, as well as the great work from both of the committees and all the people around this room. So before we put forward what it is that we're going to be proposing, I just wanted to review that this is a historic moment that Chair Pawlowski, myself, and all those around this table have been saying that our three main objectives are to reduce costs to students, increase degree completion, and do what we can to build a 21st century workforce. So as we went through the various bills, our eyes were through that lens. And everything you'll see in this bill as we move forward will be setting us on a path that we can really make some meaningful change that will leave its mark on Minnesota and our students for years to come. So we will be moving through the policy language and placing various pieces in our conference report. So with that, I would like to begin by moving, just a brief moment, please. Okay. All right. I think I'd like to ask staff to just walk us through the various articles that we're going to be moving. You can alternate by article. So, Ms. Weidman, if you want to start with Article 2. Actually, the first thing we're moving is House language. So how about Ms. Adrians? We're going to move. Yeah, go ahead. You want to take us through the language that we're going to be moving to adopt?
All right, Madam Chair, so the first section. Page R1, House language, section 1. This is the legislative auditor's reporting language that was developed with our last night. Page R3, the Senate language, Senate section 1, which is the summer bridge program. Page R9, the Senate language, section 2 is the institutional reporting language. Page R10, the Senate section, Senate sections 4 and 5, and page R13, Senate section 7, this is the MOOC language. Page R17, the Senate language, section 11, this is the higher ed.
Could you just scroll down real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
Back up to the tab there.
Yeah.
Back on page R10, you're talking about section 4 and 5, correct?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Clausen, page R10, Senate language, sections 4 and 5, and then a companion section on page R13, Senate section 7. All three of those sections relate to the massive open online courses, the MOOCs. Page R17, the Senate language, Senate section 11. This is the higher education institutional participation in state student aid programs. Page R17, Senate section 12. This is the University of Minnesota reporting language. Page R18, Senate Section 13 is the Mental Health Summit language for events here. Page R19, Senate Section 15. This is the repeal of the Summer Bridge Program, which is obsolete language.
And members, if there are questions, feel free to ask.
Page R19, in the House language, to the repealer in paragraph A, so line 24.22, this is the repealer of the Higher Education Advisory Council. On page R19, Senate Section 1, this is the SPUD section.
She gets the gavel because we shift every 24 hours, and yesterday we didn't have a meeting.
Exactly.
So she's back in charge.
Senator Claassen, I know you have an amendment. We're going to wait to do the amendments till we go through everything, and then we'll take amendments. Thank you. Could I be excused? Oh, we have to. Pardon? They need us. Okay, brief recess.
We'll wait for you.
Thank you.
We'll wait. That might give Mr. Gehring a little chance to...
And members, we have asked to not call us unless they absolutely need it, so we'll do our best.
Yeah. We hear that phone ring.
It's not that tense.
Okay. Okay, good.
Let's get through it.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. Thanks, Mr. Gehring.
Okay, Madam Chair, the next section I have is on page R21, the Senate language, section 5. This is changing the director of the Office of Higher Education to a commissioner. Page R23, the Senate language, section 10. This is the Tribal College Supplemental Grant Assistance Program. Page R27, the House language, House sections 21 and 22. These are the provisions that regulate bonus and performance-based incentive payments at the University of Minnesota and MSU. On page R30, the Senate language, sections 18 and 19. This is the veterans preference language. And similarly, on page R31, Senate Section 20, also related to veterans preference. On page R31, Senate Section 21, this is additional SLEDS language. On page R33, the Senate language, Section 23, this is the revised instruction related to the commissioner, changing the director of higher ed to the commissioner of the Office of Higher Ed. And then page R33 of the Senate language, Senate section, let's say the Senate section 1. Page R34, Senate Sections 2, 3, and 4, all related to the state grant program. And Madam Chair, that's all the sections that I have on the list to be included in the policy article of the bill, and I believe there are some amendments to the sections.
So I'd like to entertain a motion to adopt.
So moved, Madam Chair. I'll move it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. So now we'd like to go to adopt pieces of appropriation language, beginning in Article 2. Oh, Article 1, I'm sorry.
Who's going to do that? Maya, are you prepared to do that? Maya, are you prepared to do that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, first item is on page R4. That is the language for the tribal college grant, and also whatever rider languages go with that are the same on both sides would be adopted on pages preceding that. Then next we would have, starting on 4-6 and continuing over, this would be the appropriation for the summer bridge program. On line R5, we have United Family Practice Residency Program. R6 is the SLEDS rider language and appropriation. And also on that page is the HCMC appropriation that previously had been sent to HCMC through the U of M, and it will now be transferred to the Office of Higher Education, and they will act as a fiscal agent and pass it on to HCMC. Then we have the Teach for America language and appropriation that continues through page R7. And we'll also be adopting the same language, the balances forward language, the transfer language on page R9, allowing Office of Higher Education to transfer funds between various programs. Then on R10, we have the House Minsky Push and Freeze language. That's all over on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, we've got the Cook County language. Then on R11, there will be some rider language that will go along with the spreadsheet, and that will be money for leveraged equipment, as well as some one-time money for retaining faculty and staff. Then we will go over to page R12, starting on line 10.12. This is the Senate performance language that continues over to the bottom of R13. Then the next relevant language would be on R15. On the House side, this is the money for the tuition freeze, as well as some money.
Yes. R14, did you mention the House language, page 6?
Oh, I'm sorry, keep going. All right. And then there will be, here's the language for the appropriation for MnDrive, and those amounts will be included in the spreadsheet. And then also on R15, starting on line 12.23, is the performance language for the University of Minnesota. That continues over to R17. And then basically from R17 to R20 is just rider language that would go with appropriations, special appropriations for the University of Minnesota. On page R20, under the health sciences area there, we will take the health language because we are not funding the loan forgiveness program. And then starting on R20 and going to R21, we've got the Institute of Technology. We'll be adopting the house system special language because that includes $125,000 in each year for the labor education service.
That's a roll call.
Hello. Then on R21, we'll be taking the Senate U of M Mayo partnership money because that does include some higher languages left out.
We will temporarily be in recess as fast as we can. Ms. Weidman, continue.
Madam Chair, there is very little left. The academic health center language is the same on both sides. And then the Mayo clinic language, and we'll be using the Senate language because that does include some wider language that is not included on the health side.
Is that it? Very good. So, Chair Pawlowski moves to adopt the sections on the appropriation language. All those in favor?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. So members, before we go through the amendments, I wanted to make sure that people understand the broadest perspective of what we're trying to accomplish here. So if we take it from the big target, which our target, as we know, is 250, and then we look at our intentions, which were as much as possible to be a third, and a third. But there were some opportunities, given the way that we crafted our bill, to free up some money, particularly in the state grant program. So our intentions with regard to the state grant program cost us less than they would have normally cost because of, number one, the situation we talked about yesterday, where $17 million was freed up due to an interaction with the Fed's policy around the Pell, and then also because we are adopting the House in essence freeze, that frees up $13.4 million. So our total package with regard to the state grant and what we've moved within this conversation is the Senate language with regard to the state grant, raising the cap, raising the LME, and doing the two-year part-time pilot, as well as the changes to the assigned responsibility. That all then costs us significantly less. So within the Office of Higher Ed, if you're looking at your sheet that lists how we're spending our money, you've got the 77.9 and then the subtractions. We are funding the tuition reciprocity, but in keeping with our conversation of yesterday, we are directing the Office of Higher Ed to renegotiate with North Dakota, and we are not planning, because of the changes in how we're doing the freeze, we would have owed North Dakota $5 million more than what we had budgeted for. We're asking the Office of Higher Ed to negotiate and leave us where we had originally budgeted for at that 15.5, and so that is accounted for in what we've just adopted. We have put the American Indian Scholarships at the Senate level and the governor's level. We've adopted the SLEDS level. We did keep the new money for MinLink and Minitax to make sure that we are covering that. The Summer Bridge Program is in there, the Teach for America and the Tribal College Grants. Subtotaling the OHE with the grant program is 69. And again, that's taking into account what we're saving. For MinSCU, we just adopted the tuition freeze. In addition, we will be offering an amendment that will make up for some concern around if we were to do the freeze, retaining quality faculty, a one-time appropriation of $17 million. We'll have an amendment regarding that, as well as we wanted to make sure we did do the leveraged equipment. So we've got in the first year, or the first biennium, $7 million, and then we go up to $14 million in the tails. Mental Health Summit is in there for $50. It should be noted as well that in the tax bill, we are carrying $2 million in tax credits for internships and an additional amount in the jobs bill for state for grants with regard to internships. But the total for MinSCU in the first biennium is 102, and the second biennium is 119.5. Now you go to the University of Minnesota. We are doing their tuition freeze for 42,600. In the first year, 56.8. In the second biennium, their min drive, based on what the Senate had in their bill, minus 100,000 that we're picking up for one of the other initiatives that we'll be doing shortly. We did fund the labor education service for 250,000. So the subtotal for the university is 78,500. That brings us to our new spending of 249.9, which meets our target of 250. And 288, 262 in the tails, and that meets our target of 290. So, any questions with regard to the overview?
Madam Chair, just a reference to the so-called one-third, one-third, one-third. We'd never have divided the higher ed bill under that scenario before. In previous sessions, it has been custom and usage to go about 50-50 between the university and MinSCU, and then whatever we needed to do in the grant program. Of course, over the last about 8 years, you know that we did negative numbers, and Representative Nornes is one who had to carry a bill that had a rather large negative number. So this still puts into the grant program a historic amount of money, new money, and it frames it around a new dilemma we have since the recession. We've noticed that there's a new type of student, a student that we hadn't seen prior to the recession. And the Senate, because they had the resources to do it, is taking a look at what the needs are of this new so-called part-time student. And they have, you'll see in the language, this is a pilot. and we'll be reporting back on exactly how that money is used. And I think it is appropriate, given the recession and the cuts to higher education, and particularly the tuition increases in the debt, that we take a look at this new type of student and we address how that student is at the University of Minnesota, also at the Minsky system, and then also in the private colleges. Finally, when you take a look at the tuition freezes, this is also something new. The University of Minnesota had it. The House position was to do it. And you notice that in the House bill, although we only had 150, we froze tuition in both systems. We still had about $10 million we could put into the grant program. Certainly that was not a third, but it did recognize the record increases in tuition and the record debt that had accumulated over the last 8 years. So the bill is a balanced bill, and it is balanced right down to our target number. So I want to thank the senators, particularly Senator Bonner, for her work, and particularly over the last few days. As everyone knows, it's been rather stressful as I look at the senators who probably haven't slept in 24 hours.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. So we do have a few amendments, and we had actually planned to do Senator Pappas's at the end, but we are sensitive to your need to preside. So if you'd like to start with your amendment, we could do that, Senator Pappas.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I really appreciate it. What I'm here today to offer before the conference committee is Senate Bill 723, which has been called both more recently the Prosperity Act, but over the last 10 years it's been known as the DREAM Act. I think we have copies for all the members. The Office of Higher Education has asked me if I would offer an oral amendment, and I think staff is probably aware of this, to change the effective dates in Section 3 and Section 5 to July 1st, rather than upon final enactment, which would be July 1st.
Mr. Fuller.
I may be wrong, I'm kind of tired, but I think the amendment is in both places to say that it's effective July 1st for school terms, and I'm saying on and after that day. Okay.
So, Mr. Fuller, are you saying we don't need an oral amendment?
No.
Oh.
You just need to expand that.
Oh, very
so
good.
It's effective July 1st for school terms commencing on or after that, July 1st, 2013.
Okay, very
so
good.
So I'd like to incorporate that language then into my my motion to approve Senate Bill 723 as amended by the oral amendment. And I just wanted to make a few comments, and I'll try not to cry, because this has been so very important to so many young people. And certainly what we are about in higher ed is providing opportunity for young people. It doesn't matter where they're born, they come to the United States. You know, Representative Nornes knows, we've been working on this for years, to actually make this a reality. And I'm especially proud of this bill this year because not only are we providing in-state tuition for young people, which has gone up, as Representative Pawlowski said, but we also are giving them access to the state grant. And I really want to thank the Office of Higher Education for all their help and support in making that possible. I want to thank all the stakeholders, Minsky and University of Minnesota, and the private colleges, and everyone who has supported this bill over the last decade. And I especially want to thank the immigrant community and the students, and who have worked so hard over so many years to convince legislators and the governor that this is the right thing to do. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll just make my motion.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. So Senator Pappas moves Senate File 723 as amended. And first we should adopt your amendment. So do we need to adopt the oral amendment? All those in favor of the oral amendment as stated by Mr. Fuller, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Now Senator Pappas moves Senate File 723 as amended. Be recommended to pass. Discussion?
May I ask a question?
Yes. Representative?
Senator Pence, how many students do you think will be, say, applying now for the state grant? Do you have any idea?
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, we estimate there are about 750 students who are eligible, and probably only half of those, though, will apply for the grant and attend college, if they attend college. So it's not a huge number of students. We figured out it may be, you know, cost $1 or $2 per campus from the state grant, but it's a huge for students. But it is a it's a a huge symbolic issue for the community.
Representative Norris, any other questions? Okay, any other discussion? And I would say, I mentioned when I went through the spreadsheet that we were decreasing the Min Drive by 100,000 for an initiative that was for the work associated with coming up with Minnesota FAFSA to accommodate the paperwork part of accommodating these students. So the only cost that we're carrying in the bill is 100,000. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Representative Pawlowski, you have a few amendments.
Madam Chair, I just have two amendments. The first is A13. These are oversight amendments dealing with the items that have already been covered in the bill. And the A13 amendment has the Board of Trustees reporting to us on the oversight of the expenditures in this section of the bill. And this deals with donors and what they are donating in kind, the value of the contribution, so that we can monitor over the next year and a half exactly what these contributions will be, where they're coming from, and the value of the contributions, because we will be, of course, matching those. So I would move the A13 amendment.
Very good. And members, we're talking about the leveraged equipment here. So we have in our bill that the MNSCU will be getting business contributions for the leveraged equipment, and we want to make sure that we know exactly what's coming in, what its function is, and so we appreciate Chair Pawlowski's amendment to A13. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Chair Pawlowski?
Madam Chair, I have another amendment, A15, and this deals with the $17 million that is in the bill on the retention of quality faculty. We have been listening to MNSCU and on an issue of what might happen if that was not included in the bill. This will again be oversight and reporting back to us on exactly how the money is spent, what type of faculty is retained, and at what levels. So this is something that we haven't seen for some time, and you've heard me talk about it before, and Senator Bonif and I will be working on it over the interim and into the next session, on continual oversight on how this money is spent and exactly where it goes and how we gain value for this investment. So I would move the A15 amendment.
Any discussion on the A15 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. You don't have any.
Senator Claussen.
Yeah, Senator Claussen.
Yes, I'd like to move the A20 amendment. Do people have that?
Well, we're handing it out if you want to start, Senator Claussen.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The A20 amendment is some clarifying language offered by the Office of Higher Education. There were some things in the SLED's statements about educational data that, upon further review, was private data, and so we had to make some changes to the language dealing with some of the SLEDs. It had to do with Minnesota Statute 13.32, the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act, and the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA. And so there are some changes in the SLED's language. Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A2 amendment.
And Senator Claussen, I know that Senator Peterson had been working on the SLEDs. Did you have a chance to discuss this with him?
Late last night, early this morning.
Okay, good. Okay.
I shared with Senator Peterson the changes, so he had those documents that he had.
Very good. Thank you. So any questions for Senator Claussen? And Senator Claussen, thank you for your persistence, because I know you had some concerns, and I appreciate that you made sure that we made the changes so that you were comfortable with it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. So Senator Miller has an amendment, and I will just say that this was in response to Chair Pawlowski's comments yesterday that when we put in language in a bill that we're going to do something based on getting matching dollars, we want to make sure we actually add language saying the matching dollars happen. So with that, Senator Miller.
Madam Chair, I guess I have the A21 amendment, which just states that the TFA, Teach for America dollars, that the non-state funds are raised before the state dollars are appropriated.
For the second year of the biennium.
For the second year of the biennium.
Question? Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The concept of making sure that we have private sector matching dollars is an issue I raised with respect to the grant, or I'm sorry, the equipment, what do you call that?
Mm-hmm.
Leveraged equipment. But this language doesn't appear to address that concern. Are you aware of any amendment that would address the concern about making sure that we actually get a match for leveraged equipment?
Representative Winkler, we just did that amendment.
Oh, that was the
A13. It doesn't go quite as far, Representative Winkler, as I think Representative Miller's, but that
correct.
Was the cover
that's
amendment.
That's a report, not as.
It does not do what, Madam Chair and Representative Winkler, it doesn't do what Senator Miller's amendment does, but we're hoping that as we proceed with this, we would be monitoring this on a very tight leash.
Mr. Chair, I would hope so with a $21 million two-biennium appropriation in this bill.
And Representative Winkler, Mr. Fuller would also like to point some language and also understand the leveraged equipment from the state dollars are happening in the second year of the biennium. Go ahead.
Well, Madam Chair, I can't recall the A13 strike our matching language.
No.
Okay, so on R11, line 9.7 or 6, it requires a match for leverage. Currently.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, I understand it, but it doesn't really say anything other than it should be matched.
Right. We want to see. And Madam Chair, Representative McClure, I understand where you're going. We may have the opportunity here to tighten that up too. So,
thank you. Okay. So on the Miller motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. I believe there were some additional housekeeping changes that have been brought before us through the bill. So just, you know, to make sure that everybody understands what we're doing, on line R15, page 12, with regard to the metrics, based on a request from the University of Minnesota, instead of the way the language currently reads, which is about how what they're going to use their decreasing of $15 million in administrative expenses for, we're going to simplify that language and give guidance to council and say for fiscal year 2014, decrease administrative costs by $15 million. So it doesn't change the substance, it just simplifies the language. And then in addition, if you look on R9 in the policy provision, page 22, line 22.17. R9. Okay. There was some concern by the university with regard to the institutional reporting around employment data, that they would not be able to have exactly what we're looking for. And so on line 22.17, we would say After placement, we would insert as practicable. So in other words, they would do their best to give us the information. Rather than delete the request, we would just say as practicable. And we'll insert and we'll instruct council to add that as they do their changes. Is that it? So I believe there are a couple other amendments that members might have.
Did you
move? Oh, can we move those technical changes?
Yes, I move them.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, I would also, in the policy language side by side on page R11, like to move the House language, which is section 20, lines 19.32. through 20.27. And Madam Chair, I'm not aware of any opposition among conferees to this language. And this language was something that was supported in the House committee by a couple of representatives beyond me, but including Representative Breinert, who was concerned about this program being folded up by Minsky and not being available to people in her district at Mankato State and not elsewhere. And I also know that Representative Poppy has used this program and thinks it should continue. And so what this language does is allow this system that the state has already paid for to continue in existence. And so I would ask that we adopt the House language in section 20 on page R11.
Discussion.
Madam Chair, I can understand Representative Winkler's concern here. And we did hear this as an amendment on the House side. And I would hope at this point we would not include it in the conference committee until we have all of the issues resolved with this language that have arisen since we've included it in the House side. So I can understand offering it, but I would hope at this point we would not include it.
Madam Chair.
Representative Winkler. Yes.
You said at this point, and that sort of implies a temporal condition as opposed to a kind of.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, as you know here, nothing is over until we're actually out the door on May 20th, and we're not even close to that yet. And there are things like dinners and other things going on that may impact.
Madam Chair, Representative Pawlowski, are we going to be closing up the conference report immediately, or are we going to come back later?
Representative Winkler, we are not going to close the conference report. We have not gotten final comments from the governor's office, so we will complete our business tonight and leave the conference open, so we'll be in recess to the call of the chair.
Right. Madam Chair, and if that's tonight, then Senator Bonhoeff will be calling it. If it's tomorrow, the gavel would fall to me, and then I'll call it. So that would also give folks some time to digest this, both the amendments and the amounts, and then I assume we'll get some feedback.
So, Madam Chair and Representative Pawlowski, I can withdraw the motion on the condition that you both assure me that there will be an opportunity to bring the motion again.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I think you can be assured of that.
Yes. Very good. Any other amendments at this time? Anybody wish to say anything who has not spoken? Speak now, forever hold your peace time? No?
Sure, I think Mr. Stanton.
Go ahead, Mr. Come to the table.
It's a great agreement.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We all appreciate it. Really is a bill that I think we can all be proud of. You know, as the governor says, you can agree to something even though you don't agree with something, and I think everyone around this table has things they love in this bill and things they would have done differently, but what we can be proud of is that we came together to reach consensus for things that really would make a difference. But again, it's not over because there is this other branch of government and
that's
how I feel.
Representative Winkler, I'm with you in more ways than you know.
As am I. So at this point, I would like to instruct staff to move to prepare a conference report. Well, we're not going to do that yet.
Madam Chair, I think you can have them put it together, and a draft. and then we will have that draft before us that if there need to be amendments such as Rep. Sam Winkler's or others, they could be applied to the draft. And I think that would be a little bit easier to handle than all of the different pieces of paper we have before us.
So any other questions with regard to process?
Madam Chair.
Representative Rosenthal.
I have a question for the Teach for America program and how that got in here and what the thinking is behind it.
Representative Rosenthal, that was a Miller provision. We talked to our Senate Education Chair, Senator Wieger. There was a group of people who really spent the interim working on how we were going to make sure that the alternative licensure law actually flourished in Minnesota, and there's been many obstacles to having that happen. There still actually are many obstacles to having that program flourish, but the school district of Minneapolis, as well as other surrounding school districts that use Teach for America core members, want to hire more teachers than are available, and their resources are limited. And so Chair Wieger and I discussed that this is really a teacher preparation program, so it doesn't belong in the K-12 bill. It's new for Minnesota because we didn't have an alternative licensure law until the last 2 years. And so we chose, and at the time, we actually put the Q program in our bill too, but then that's since been moved to the K-12 because you've got Representative Dabney who carried it in the K-12. So for parity, it got moved there. But because of that, it was decided to be carried in the higher ed bill. It was put on in our committee, and as we supported by leadership, and as Chair Pawlowski and I went through what we'd adopt and what we didn't, we agreed to adopt it.
Madam Chair, I guess my comment would be that I would hope that funds would be directly used for students and not for administration, and leave it at that.
Thank you. Yes.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
You may.
My name is Cindy Crist. I represent the Minnesota Association of Colleges for Teacher Education. I've spoken with some of you about the Teach for America provision. My question is this. Last Friday, as some of you may know, at the Board of Teaching, the board turned down TFA's request to continue their discretionary variance for next year. So at this point in time, as of this moment, there isn't any Teach for America to fund for next year. I do know that the board has been hearing from folks, particularly I think some of the charter schools and Minneapolis schools, who were counting on having those TFA core members to teach. And TFA has recruited people who have already, I think, had an initial orientation. So, on the one hand, I wouldn't be surprised when the Board of Teaching meets in June if they wouldn't revisit the issue and make some decisions. But I think their action was clearly based on their concerns about the quality of teachers from Teach for America.
Ms. Chris, let's not speak on behalf of the board. I do understand that action did get taken, and what actually happened was they didn't approve the group waiver. They wanted to do one by one, and so I am familiar that that is going forward, and we'll make sure to continue to get information with regard to that. And the 58 core members are still teaching, and there's a request for more, and so
right.
Thank you.
The variance is for the new group.
Yeah, for the group, as a group waiver. Thank you.
So my question is, if the Board of Teaching does not take action to change that, what happens with this funding? Would it be held, for example, just higher ed until things that worked out with the Board of Teaching? And if I could just briefly correct your statement, there are enough teachers, there are more than enough teachers in Minnesota to go classrooms. This is a different group of teachers. So
thank you.
I think it's more an issue of the individuals, not the numbers.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, so
is there any other system?
Yep, I will call a recess to the call of the chair. Well, thank you.
Well done, bud.